Why there can be such a thing as too much success for an online trading platform. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. Shares of the retail chain GameStop are up this morning on news that the free stock trading platform Robinhood will turn back on limited buying in volatile stocks later today. This after Robinhood reportedly raised hundreds of millions of dollars to stabilize its finances. Robinhood has been in the hot seat since yesterday when it halted trading in GameStop and several other companies involved in this dramatic tug of war between bullish individual investors and skeptical professional hedge funds. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us here. Why did the Robinhood platform lock down trading, and why the need for the new money?
There was all kinds of loose talk online that Robinhood was trying to appease a big hedge fund. But actually, David, the answer to your question is really boring. Robinhood clears stock trades through a clearinghouse, and the clearinghouse basically stands between buyers and sellers. It manages the risk to the market if one side of a deal defaults and doesn't pay up. Robinhood traders were making so many risky bets on stocks like GameStop that the clearinghouse started demanding lots of collateral from brokerages like Robinhood to back up those risky bets. Robinhood reacted by temporarily banning purchases of volatile stock, but then it was able to raise reportedly more than $1 billion.
So what happens now?
In a blog post, Robinhood says starting today, it will allow limited buys of these volatile stocks, but it will continue to monitor the situation and, quote, may make adjustments as needed.
And what sort of blowback can Robinhood expect?
A lot of its customers are really angry, David, so it could lose some business, but also some members of Congress are calling for hearings on what happened.
All right, Nancy, thank you. GameStop shares closed down 44% yesterday, but at the moment, up 57%. Our Friday analyst, Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial, was talking to a pair of 20-something pals around the dinner table the other night as they were trying to get him, Chris, to jump on the bandwagon of buy these downtrodden stocks as a way to teach Wall Street bigwigs a lesson.
It's just fascinating, the economic anger underlying all of this, even to the point where they say, look, we know it's a bubble. We know we'll probably lose out, and we don't care. We're just glad to have been part of the revolution. And that, by the way, is a direct quote.
We have more with Chris on the GameStop frenzy uniting the political left and the political right in a collective antipathy toward the Wall Street grandees. If you miss that on the air, it'll be streamable at marketplace.org later this morning. Across the country, COVID continues to surge in many places and puts pressure on hospitals. But healthcare workers on the front lines of the pandemic are coming up on a year of watching patient after patient die. And it's taking its toll on their mental health. Reporter David Weinberg spoke with one of these frontline workers in Southern California.
Tatiana Molinar works as an ICU nurse at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica, California. So when her mom tested positive for COVID, she was able to get her transferred to St. John's in April. She says her mom was given experimental drugs and treatments that weren't available in most hospitals. But ultimately, it wasn't enough.
I honestly don't think that there's anything that could have saved her except for her not getting sick.
In August, Molinar was feeling overwhelmed by the death of her mom. And her husband was furloughed from his job, so she was taking on extra shifts as a surge of her patients were dying of COVID.
People have no idea how ugly it is.
She says many of her coworkers have turned to alcohol or antidepressants to cope with the stress.
People who were fine before.
In a recent survey of healthcare workers, 93% said they were experiencing elevated levels of stress.
Nearly 40% of healthcare workers said that they didn't feel like they had adequate emotional support. And that was even higher for nurses. It was about 45%.
Maddie Reinhart is a senior director of population health at Mental Health America, the organization that produced the study. And that data seemed to be playing out for Molinar as one by one, most of her friends left the ICU. Today, Molinar says that most of the nurses she works with are from out of state.
We have a lot of travelers that can earn more in Los Angeles, so they leave, you know, their states where the wages are lower.
But Molinar has now been vaccinated. On January 7th, she received the second of two shots to protect her against COVID-19. And while she is grateful, she doesn't really feel a sense of relief yet.
I'm a little afraid that I still could be potentially, you know, transmitting the virus to folks in my community who aren't getting the vaccine as early as I am.
Still, Molinar says that for the first time since the pandemic began, she feels like there's definitely hope on the horizon. In Los Angeles, I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
And as part of our fast-track coverage of the vast logistics of vaccine distribution, we check in with a nurse coordinating vaccinations in a largely rural part of the country. They have customers, they have the staff, but what they need more of is indeed vaccine, marketplace.org, if you missed that on the air. And the global consulting firm McKinsey is reportedly in advanced talks to settle with several states on its work helping Purdue Pharma make more money from opioid painkillers. The Financial Times today says McKinsey is unlikely to admit wrongdoing if there would be a settlement. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and J.C. Bold. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.